Hey, Mac, when does deer season start?
Well, if you want the best deer herd possible, Lanny, you need to start right now.
Right now.
That's why we're starting our promotion. I mean, we've got a Deer Season Starts Now promotion on plantbiologic.com where you can pick up our Game Changer soybeans, our forage soybeans, and our spring protein peas. While you're there, you might as well go ahead and pick up some brassicas like our final forage and winter bowls.
Yeah, stock up for the cool season planting right now. Listeners to the GK Podcast, if you use coupon code GKPOD, you can save an additional 10% off our entire selection of warm season, cool season, and clover food plot seed. Get started today and visit plantbiologic.com for an unforgettable fall.
I am Jeff Foxworthy, and welcome to Gamekeeper Podcast. If you want to learn more about farming for wildlife and habitat management, then buddy, you are in the right place. Join the Gamekeeper crew direct from Mossy Oak Land Enhancement Studio as they discuss the latest wildlife and habitat management practices, news, and of course, hunting. There's no telling what you'll learn, but I'm going to tell you, I bet it's interesting. Enjoy.
We're live in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a...
Ooh.
What? I think I heard a hunter hooting.
Is that you, Richie?
Number two.
Yeah, that was me this morning. Yeah.
Number two out of the gate. Today, we're doing the master class on running a mouth call with none other than Josh Grossenbacher. And I had to pronounce that. I had to practice that pronunciation.
Yeah, Rob phonetically wrote
nailed it
on your
What kind of name is Grossenbacher?
It's German. What kind of name is Cole?
Well, I don't know. But
are you from West Virginia?
You've got a lot of syllables.
Maybe. Yes, sir.
Does it mean anything? What is it? Does it mean like master of a turkey call?
Yeah. I honestly don't know.
Well, we're glad to have
yeah,
you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And sitting next to him, did we hit the horns for Josh? I can't remember.
I think.
There we go.
There we go.
Sitting next to him, and we don't have to hit the horns for Spence, I don't think. But we might as well since we have
As long as I don't have to yelp in this crowd right here, we're good.
Yeah, so Rolling Thunder is represented here.
No doubt about it.
We got Spence.
Proud to have him in town today and for our turkey event.
We're glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Kicking off turkey season, baby.
Josh told me he hadn't seen that much good food since Thanksgiving.
No lie. That was unbelievable. Thank you, Taxi.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That was definitely delicious.
That happens every Friday, except what, in January? Yeah, it doesn't happen in January.
Yeah. It's mighty good.
Turnip greens. What do y'all do in January?
They don't cook in January.
Oh.
I don't think.
Like Chinese New Year kind of thing?
Kind of a thing like that.
They get 30 days off.
So, yeah.
It really is the best home style fried chicken.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It is.
And then the mac and cheese this week was on point. It was like it had lard or something in it. I mean, you could taste it in the mac and cheese.
Probably did.
It was good.
They know how to do it.
Well, so we're doing a kind of a deep dive into
how to
run a mouth call today. So that's what we want to kind of start with. And Josh, we just always just heard a lot of accolades about you. But can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into running a mouth call and turkey calling and hunting and
all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, starting at the beginning, the first time I ever put a mouth diaphragm in my call or in my mouth, a buddy of mine gave me one. And I think it was like an old Quaker Boy Boss Hen or old Boss Hen, you know, a 2-reed call. And I carried that thing around for 2 weeks. And you know how the frame of a mouth call is, you know, open end out. Well, the way that frame looked, I thought, well, shoot, that goes up in my mouth with the open end back. And I walked around for 2 weeks sucking on that thing, sucking in, trying to make noise. I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I had nothing to read, nothing to go off of to figure it out. And finally, I started doing it the other way. And I was like, oh, maybe this is how you're supposed to do it. And eventually started watching some videos that had a little more instruction on them and buying other calls. I can remember going through a bunch of like old Mad calls, their V-cut, the MVPs, and I loved those things back in the day. And really got into turkey hunting hard when I was attending college at Hocking College down in southeastern Ohio. And that's where Rocky Boots is at in Nelsonville, Ohio.
Yeah.
And Mossy Oak at the time had an outlet store there.
Sure did.
And I ended up working there for a few years while I was in college and helping out.
At the Mossy Oak store?
At the Mossy Oak store.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Lanny, I actually met you back in 21.
Really?
In Columbus, working the booth. And yeah. I was fortunate enough to get to hang out with Bob back in the day and take money while Cuz was autographing the truth books at the at the booth.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we hosted a contest a few years there called the Mossy Oak Invitational, and I was blown away that these guys could get on stage in front of people and blow mouth calls, because I thought, man, that takes a lot of nerve. I mean, that's
pretty
crazy. And one of the boys I worked with, he was 15, 16 years old, and he was competing at the Grand Nationals and stuff in the intermediate division, and he was coming down and calling, I think, where did they used to have the world back in the 90s?
That was Birmingham. That
when you guys were hosting Birmingham, it?
Bessemer Mobile.
Yeah, Birmingham or Mobile.
But he would come down to, he was coming down to those, and then when I got done with school, I moved back home to my parents, and there was a hunting store, Fin Feather and Fur, about a half hour from our house, and he called me about coming up and staying at the house to compete in that contest that weekend. And so he came up, and we were out in my dad's shop at my mom and dad's house running turkey calls the night before. And I just had some yelpers there, and I was calling. And he talked me into getting in the amateur the next day. And so I did with, you know, zero practice, and ended up finishing 11th out of 22 callers. And at that point in time, I was like, man, you know, I didn't practice for this. I really feel like if I put a little bit of time in this, I could probably do pretty good. And I ended up running calls nonstop from then for the next 2-3 weeks, and ended up winning the Ohio State Amateur Contest, which at that point in time, there were like 26 guys in it. So that was pretty cool. And then that bumped me up to the Open. And then once I got in there, it was just, I wanted to try to get as good as I could, but I was also noticing how much better and more confidence it was giving me when I was in the woods working turkeys and like locating turkeys, just everything about running a mouth call just made, I don't want to say it made hunting easier, but having that confidence and that familiarity with a mouth call in the woods, it made the experience a heck of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So you're from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
What town in Ohio?
A little town called Seville, Ohio.
Is that near Chris Paradise?
Within an hour.
Yeah, he's in Chagrin Falls.
Yeah.
Out from to the east, kind of.
A lot of hunters come out of Ohio, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of good things come out of Ohio. It's amazing. Tell you, whenever I'm up there, it's everywhere I go. That's fortunately, that's all I see is Mossy Oak.
Yeah.
Just like you down here close to home. But there are a lot of stuff out of the hunting industry.
Yeah.
From
Ohio.
It really is. A lot.
Rocky.
A lot
of,
yeah. Oh, there's endless amounts.
So let's fast forward. You've been tell me about your turkey calling career. What's the high point there?
Okay, so once I got into it, the high point was winning the World Open Championship in Stuttgart in 2015. And 2017, the head-to-head division at the Grand Nationals, I was fortunate to win that one. And then two-time runner-up in the Open, the Senior Open at the Grand Nationals in 18 and 19. And
that's pretty amazing. That when you guys are these contest callers, I've got a lot of questions about mouth calls because I've been trying to figure out a lot of stuff on my own. But I think a lot of people are going to be like, "Yeah, I've always wondered that."
Oh yeah.
But how long can you get a mouth call to last? What's a typical time frame? Or do they blow out after a month?
They can definitely lose their tensions and stuff, especially. Hunting season to me is the hardest on my mouth calls because when they're in your mouth all day long from daylight to lunch, whatever it is, you're out there hunting. I mean, usually my calls are in my mouth the whole time, and just being slobbered on and soaking wet, they're going to lose that tension. But some of the materials will tighten back up as they dry. But just over time, they're going to lose that tension. Some of them will break in and get better, and some of them will lose it. Right. But like if I've got calls that I really, really like, I'm going to pick the reeds and I'm probably going to set them aside and try to save them for competitions. And being that I can get my hands on a turkey, a mouth call whenever I want.
He's got a pro staff code.
Yeah. Anyway, to answer your questions, I've had some of them that I might not like after 2 weeks. It's like they've lost their stretch that quick, but yeah, that's taken a lot of abuse.
But you've got some that are, I mean, you've had for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
In that box. I mean,
yeah.
Well, what's well, a minute?
You got to remember something. You're like him, you can yip on anything.
Yeah.
It's just he's so picky in particular because of his ear and his, you know, his close to perfection he gets out of them. So he's picky about that. We all are in our own little way. But when you can call on anything to start with, it's really not that big a deal to go hunting with one.
Bobby, to the point of your question, though, I think the average guy, you know, chunks their mouth calls after turkey season or doesn't keep up with them from year to year.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's my point is, like, I mean, these guys have got some that – what would you say?
Oh, I know guys that have got competition calls that they've had for close to 10 years that they use every year.
And wow.
That blows my mind. But
yeah, don't a lot of those people, they clean them off to keep the acidity from your saliva off of them and wash them with, like, distilled water and pick them and then put them in a refrigerator?
Oh, yeah. And there's – I've seen it happen with other guys, my own also, but, like, sometimes these ones that we baby and take care of and try to keep around for a long time, they actually start, like, growing stuff on them. Yeah. But when they get to that point, that's usually when they're, like, really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can't throw them out.
Gotta suffer through it. Right. Yeah.
I've never – I told them at lunch, I'm over history, 50 years, I've never – I've rarely had one I was crazy about. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying I'm that great or anything, but I'm picky about trying to get a good sound out of them. But it's always been, if I've had one, tried it, it's pretty good. Yeah, I like that. But I was still calling on another one. And I might have one, maybe 3 years is a long time for me to keep the same one because I'm not picking them regularly and I'm pulling them apart in the mornings and all. But what I was getting at is typically something that's already a year old that I actually like better.
Yeah. And I think with that, a lot of like the latexes and stuff come with so much powder on them.
Yes.
That it takes a few different times of using it in your mouth and getting them wet in between those reeds and getting all that powder off there. Like a lot of like the white natural latex, once it starts to get good and wet, like it'll dry clear over time. And usually I've found when that latex starts to dry clear, that's when that latex is really starting to break in good,
right,
and like get seasoned to where it starts to run really good.
So it's like some materials grab air a little better than others. It's almost like, I don't know if there's anything to the physics of that or not. It's like the call. So just, I've always like, can I make a turkey sound with a tiny bit of air and not have to blow real hard on them? Mm-hmm. That's almost the first acid test for me, because in the grand scheme of things, the great gift of a mouth call is the finishing part.
Right.
I mean, you can make great, you can call any turkey, make him stand on his head with a wide array of friction calls and different things. But the key is getting the job done is you need a
get him tight.
Where you can back down and make barely audible sounds and finish them with that mouth call. That's when it really, of course, you can use a mouth call and nothing else, and that's all you need. That's maybe it's not as much fun as toting a bunch of stuff out there, but I'll just call it a finishing yipper always. Yeah. You should be, in my opinion, strongly, look for something you don't have to use little any air at all to blow.
Sure.
It should be your first thing to look for.
So let's start here. Let's kind of try to do this in an organized fashion. You kind of mentioned about which direction to put the call in your mouth.
Yes,
so
sir.
So I think we got that. Everybody knows that the reeds go out. But how do you know if you've got it, what's the right side to push up to go to the top of your mouth?
Well, most all mouth calls, the way that the frame is on in the tape, the tab, that part that gets bent under, which will be the bottom side of the call, will be on the bottom. And most nowadays, a lot of different brands have their logos on the top. Like ours, we either have the name of the call or our signatures.
So that goes up.
That goes on the top. And the longest reed will be usually on the top, depending on the model of the call. There are some that don't have the long reed on top.
Well, see, that's what gets me confused. That if I can just start here, because I don't think I'm the only one that's – because when I try to ask people this question, they're
right,
like, well, I don't know. So if you're pushing it up to the top of your mouth and sealing it off, and the air is blowing under the call.
It's
So the like when I've got one that's got a bat wing on the top, I don't understand how the air is moving that bat wing.
The air is actually going like so the top of that call is going to be sealing in the palate of your mouth with that tape. And then with the tongue pressure, your tongue pressing up on it with that pressure, the air is going to be coming through and across the top of your tongue through those reeds, and that which is causing those reeds to vibrate. So like a bat wing, the part that's going to vibrate the most, you're going to get like the rasp part out of, is going to be that center part that sticks out in the middle.
But it's on top.
It's the top. It's the top.
Yeah, but it's sticking out.
It's the farthest.
If it doesn't stick out past the next reed, you won't make a sound on it. Mm. But they're always, I mean, I guess you do some because I do ask for it, flush.
Yeah.
And you start with a clear sound, and as you put more volume, it'll start to break apart and be raspy. But what he's saying is that top reed, you wouldn't get air on it, except that they always build them with it sticking out just a little bit. So that's why it rattles just a little.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, tell us what we need to know about, if a guy's listening to this and he's frustrated with how he sounds on the mouth call, how can we improve the way he sounds?
What I find myself doing a lot, especially like this time of year, preparing for turkey calling contests and stuff, is practicing my calls, recording them, and then listening to calling sequences of live hens. Say if I'm working on my Yelp, and I'll listen to a few different hens on YouTube, or I've got some stuff saved on my phone, and playing that recording and trying to compare it to that, see where I'm at with my rhythms, sounds. Like, if am I matching up? Am I even in the ballpark sounding like this thing? And it's so easy for people to do that nowadays with all the technology we've got with our phones and computers and everything to record yourself and match it up. That's the number one thing.
You really can't hear your calling. I mean, it doesn't.
Not like you're right. Not like the next guy.
Not like you think you can hear
it. That's right. No.
So you're saying take your phone and put it out 10, 15 yards from you and yelp at it.
6 foot. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good, tip.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'll actually, a lot of times, I'll just slide it on the dash of the truck upside down up there and hit it. And at least you can tell a little bit about it, you know.
There's a lot of times I do majority of my practicing in my shop, and I'll record myself in there, and it's the acoustics aren't the best.
No.
And when I record it in there, it's like, man, to my ear, I think, man, this is great. I'm rocking right now. And then I listen to it back and I'm like, man, that's trash. And then you go outside and you call out in the open, and it's like, okay, that sounds a lot better, or it could be worse. But that's another thing, is finding the right area to practice. But I'm also talking about at a different level, not like the competition calling's a whole different ballgame than calling in the woods.
It's perfection. It's not.
But the thing that gets missed is you're talking to a world-class yelper who practices every single day. And I mean, like, none of us practice as aggressively as these guys practice.
No, I'm going to practice on opening morning at 4 a.m. when I'm driving.
But you talk about, you know, the average guy listening that wants to get better. Like, practice is not a very attractive answer, but
that's true.
It's really true.
But it's kind of like someone said about golf one time, and they're like practicing all the time. And someone said, yeah, but if you don't know what to practice, what good is practice? So I think it would be great for me to hear it too. It was like, what are some things?
Like, how do you practice?
Yeah, it was kind of revolutionary once upon a time. Wilbur's like, make the key sound first. And then drop your jaw to say, key, oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, people didn't know what to start, so he gave them something to do. I mean, I would love to hear what you would give average guy like me advice about that.
Yeah.
And what to practice.
When I'm...
Are you comfortable over there, Josh? You just seem like...
Toxie, that
I,
is
I think
a,
I'm too comfortable.
That is a really... That is the perfect the question. Cheese.
Yeah,
it really is.
Because you practice all the time, but I mean, I guess over time you practice, you can make, you know, you can actually do the, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G if you want to with your mouth call and practice making different sounds. But I'd love to know.
It's like, how would your choir teacher tell you how to warm up and stuff, you know?
So, and I will say this, even people that don't compete in competitions and you hear them call and you go, wow, they're all people that don't have a flat or linear sound. They have the roll to it, if whatever you want to call it. You know,
yeah.
Just like we heard him on that Slate call a minute ago, when just our jaw dropped. Mm. The same way with him, so even to a greater degree here. And how do you tell all of us out there how to work on that, as opposed to making just a flat sound?
You kind of hit on it earlier when you were talking about the key. I'm trying to find the spot in that call where I can get that clear that clear note. And this is a new call that I'm working on coming out with for next year. And we talked about the overhang. Like this one here has the middle reed where it would get that rasp. This is going to help.
So is that middle – oh, the middle reed. Okay. I'm looking at your top reed, and it's not sticking out past them.
No, and that's
– that's what I've been looking for out there, too, to be honest with you.
Well, he'll give you that call. Yeah, no,
I'll wait. Don't worry.
Josh.
I got a bunch out in the truck.
Let him have that.
Let him use that one.
No, no.
But what this has helped – this has helped me get that more clear front end. Mm. And just moving your tongue around, finding that.
Right.
And once you find it, just a little increase of air pressure and a little bit of drop of the tongue, creating a little more vibration in those reeds.
Right. So it's beautiful. So he had the air on the short reed on the bottom with more tongue pressure. So he wasn't hitting air out on the end of the call. When he drops his jaw, it catches all the reeds.
It's catching all of them.
Look at Toxie. He's like an analyst. He's thought about
this a little bit, hasn't he?
50-something years old. Yeah. He'll finally teach you something.
Let's hear you yelp. I'm just anxious to hear you yelp.
I want to hear Toxie.
No.
I'll
tell you what, I'll be glad to call for you someday, but not with Josh in the room. No, sir. That's like hitting golf balls with Tiger Woods or something. Not going to happen.
But with that key out, and you're going to speed it up, and it's going to break into that clear front over into the transition into that raspier back end.
Dang. That sounds so good.
Yeah, now he's in the zone. Yep. That's a heavier. Is that a heavier reed? Yeah, it sounds heavier.
What sounds heavier about it? What do you mean?
It's just a thicker reed. It's just a heavier sound. I don't know how.
It's got a little more
fullness.
Fullness compared to like a thinner reed. That's going to be
keener. Bobby,
it sounds really good.
Now that's awesome.
A two reed with a bat wing on top.
No, this is a three reed, and it's more of like a combination cut. But that middle part is snipped.
Are you blowing air through the center of your mouth, or are you pushing it to one side or the other?
No, with this style of cut, with the open side to the right, I am forcing the air more to the right compared to with like a ghost cut where the center itself is cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And with a ghost cut, this one's got different layers of latexes and different.
That will be a more forgiving cut, right?
Some guys really like them, but just the way that the air is through this, like, I'm just starting to really spend a little more time learning how to yelp on it, because it's just the air presentation is completely different than what I'm comfortable with.
Right.
But
did you have the flap? When you grew up, were you using the cut on one side with a big flap, or do you use the center V? I remember when the center V hit the market.
Yeah, it was just
crazy. I was like, part of that.
Yeah, it was more just a V.
Right.
But
the diamond.
Yeah, Preston made a black diamond.
Yeah, black diamond, yeah, with that green latex.
Those were really nice.
Oof.
And then like that softer, throatier stuff, that's I'm just leaving my tongue pressure up on that, the middle of that call, and then just forcing that air from the back of my throat and just getting that soft, those soft little throaty yelps, which... That's stuff that I'd like to use like first thing in the morning when they're still on the roost, that soft tree stuff, or when, you know, that gobbler's within 50 yards and you can't see him yet and you just need a couple little soft calls to get him to break and come in. Like that's some of my favorite stuff.
Your daughter's been begging you to hunt since her little brother shot the big 8 last year. You've ran a fire, dissed the fields, got stuck, got unstuck. Planted food plots, fertilized, and prayed for rain. You moved trees, limbed roads, even bought one of those fancy cell cameras.
So what's your excuse?
LS Tractor.
Moultrie has pioneered the game management category. Today, Moultrie is one of the best-selling brands of feeders and seeders in the world, and they continue to innovate with new technology that gamekeepers will rely on. Moultrie products are always field-tested and designed for hunters by hunters, combining forward-thinking innovation with time-tested practicality. Moultrie, first in feeders since 1979. All right, so guys, Moultrie is offering our listeners a 15% site-wide discount at MoultrieFeeders.com. Use code MossyOak with a capital M, MossyOak, at MoultrieFeeders.com and get that 15% discount.
It's crazy how far they can hear a barely audible. Yeah, like you're sitting with me 5 yards away, and you're not even sure if I've called. That's so soft. And a turkey that 200 yards just hammers. And I've so many times thought it was just coincidence over my life. And then finally, over the years, I've proved it to myself. Barely audible to your own self, and they can hear it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, given there's not a bunch of highway traffic noise or something, it's incredible how they can hear.
You ever, like, when you got hens close to you and some of the stuff that they're doing, you can barely hear them.
You never know of it because they have to be, 10, 15 yards to hear it. The little hitting nasal noises, whiny things they
little
do.
Whines and almost sounds like water dropping.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it. Wow.
I'm so ready to yelp at one.
Won't be long.
No, it won't.
So, well, let's continue down the road of tips. I had it sound a little bit better. I feel like most all our guys can blow a mouth call. But
see, I thought this was for the public until now. I think this is for Bobby. This whole masterclass thing is for Bobby.
Now, what I do.
So, something else, like adding that realism, like – when I'm yelping, like I'll throw a cluck in the middle of like a sequence of
I love that.
Of yelps.
Absolutely. That's it.
Over time, when I'm practicing that, like I'll find myself just driving down the road in my truck or being in the shop tinkering with something, whatever, and I'll just constantly just work on those transitions of.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I need to work on that right there. Let me put that one down.
It's just working on that just muscle memory of constantly doing it over and over again is how I've gotten.
It's not easy to do. And you hear hens do it all the time.
Yeah. I was going to ask specifically because I've heard you make that noise before. So I'm glad y'all. Thanks for the question.
Well, not like that. He just did. That was a practice.
Well, I know, but that's what piece. I need to be doing.
We
need
this. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's what they do right there. Oh, yeah, exactly. The staccato.
I mean, it sounds machine. Like two people calling. That's insane.
It is.
I got to work on that.
So what are you doing in that transition there, doing different in the yelping and the clucking there and that quick? What are you doing different?
Changing up the way that the air is coming across. Like, I'm actually, stopping it with my throat.
Wow, with your throat, not with your...
Not with your tongue, yeah.
Yeah, it's like cutting it off right in the back of my mouth.
Wow. So I have to stop with my tongue. But.
Yeah.
You know, when you get that good at it, it's probably hard to explain how you're doing things that it just becomes memory, like somebody typing on a keyboard.
Yeah,
it's
podcast is tough.
The hard part is explaining that stuff.
Yeah, muscle memory.
If he had somebody sitting in front of him, like Dudley's going to do as soon as this podcast is over, or me. It's not as hard, but over the, a tape or over a podcast, it is difficult.
Everybody's mouth and the way that everybody presents their air to a call is so different that it's, man, if you could get in somebody else's mouth and like move things around for them a little bit, it'd be super,
be easier.
Be a lot easier.
Yeah. But everybody's mouth shape's different. I mean, everything, Are you moving the call further back in certain for certain calls and up for certain calls?
No.
You keep it pretty much in the same spot?
I keep it all in the same spot. And if anything's moving, it's just the tongue placement.
Yeah.
Like to get a little bit deeper, I'll move the back, the thicker part of my tongue a little bit forward.
Yeah.
So do you have one call that can do it all? Or do you, if I'm going to do some plucks, clucks and purrs, I need to put this call in my mouth?
Right now, I've got a couple different calls to do everything. I mean, this one's pretty close, but when
is that contest calling, Bobby, or hunting?
No, hunting.
Oh, hunting. Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to do everything on a lot of different calls.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to.
I didn't believe you when you said you cared a couple to do it. I know you can do everything on every call because I've heard you.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to mess up in the woods.
We talked about that, Bobby. It's a trashy, kind of maybe loose, messes up a little bit call. I like better myself. As long as it has, you know, what you feel like is a fully natural turkey sound to it. Yeah. I mean, it sounds more turkey almost, you know, but he's got a transition between musical perfection in a contest as opposed to, you know, just spitting feathers out when you're in the woods. There's two different things.
So, Josh, talk to me about how these reeds stick together. And then we're all in the morning in the darkness trying to pull them apart and, you know, run them over the water over them. And what's going on there? And do we need to be
what's your routine?
Do we need to be real careful?
Yeah. Like I would recommend like toothpicks or, you know, I've got little reed spacers that one of my buddy made for me that keeping the reeds separated. First thing in the morning, you know, you get out there, you start getting set up, the turkeys start gobbling and you're trying to pick these things apart with your fingers. You're asking for trouble. Excuse me.
Man, that lunch is
still right there. But we heard him.
But yeah, so having those reed separators in there, you know, first thing in the morning, you put that call in your mouth and get it wet, pull those spacers out, and those reeds aren't stuck together. I mean, right out of the gate, you're ready to go. Compared to if you don't, those reeds are all stuck together, and you try to call on it, you're not going to get the sounds. You're going to...
Yeah.
Sound terrible. It seems like some calls are made almost indestructible by some manufacturers. But the ones that I found at least sound whatever more realistic or a little bit more brittle, not necessarily fall apart easily. So I know that if you ever get one you like, you better be careful about pulling it apart all the time. Yeah. I have been terrible about that. I've picked them and then I'm not taking, you know, then I lose a little pick. Where do you put your pick when you're using it during the morning? Just stick it back in your call case?
I just put it back in my plastic
call case. Oh, but you've got that call case with you. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, in one of the little call cases, like in our vest we have and stuff, I'll end up losing that pick. You know, it's just a little end of a toothpick type thing, you know? So what do I do with it when I'm hunting that morning? Then I get ready to pick it and it's not there. Then I've let the call stick back together again.
That top reed, the one, the bat wing or the
ghost coat? That's the main one.
I always feel like I'm going to tear that one if I'm not careful.
Do you know, I tear them open all this time. I end up messing them up some. But I would much rather stick the pick in there if I could.
Yeah.
I just drink my coffee with it in on the way to the woods. And by the time I get there, it's loosened up. But that's probably not the best way to make them last or whatever.
We're talking about the Yelper, right?
Yeah.
Dudley, I like you. I feel like you're the kind of guy that buys a lot of calls.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to learn. I'm probably the most novice out of everybody in this room.
At the end of the day, I'll go back, you know, when I get a chance to sit down and repick those. To keep them separated.
You got an hour or two when they're still moist.
Oh, yeah. Once you get them good and wet, they're not.
That was my thing. I was like, okay, this is a good one. I'm not going to mess with it. I've got it picked. Okay, open in the morning. I call them. Oh, that was great. You know, where's my pick? And then I don't go back and worry about it. Stick it in there. And then here I go in my same old cycle of pulling it apart every morning. And if you're thinking and you're driving by yourself and you got a little bit of a drive, if you use it the day before, it should still be, you know, have enough moisture. Just yep on it for 5 minutes or so, and it'll break loose again. But, you know, you just don't remember that every morning. It's so much better to pick them if you can.
And what you just said, practicing driving in your truck, the last thing you want to do with these things is leave them sit in your console where the sun can beat down on them. That's the fastest way to ruin them and deteriorate them.
That's how I figure out what Toxie's running, though. Yeah, I see them laying on
But when I first crack open some new ones in the spring, I'll actually leave them on the dash for a day or two. And it will break them in. It'll break them in a little bit. For me. And then, honestly, they will normally, not always, they'll normally get a little better. And then you protect them.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, is there, when you take one out of a package, is there a break-in period on a call typically?
There's a few different models, maybe two reads that are easier to instantly, like, get them where you want them. But typically, like, these calls, like, they need to get wet a handful of times. And that's what I've tried telling people over the years, like, man, if you can't get, you're not where you're at or where you think you should be with a call right out of the package, just give it, be a little bit patient with it. Give it a little bit of time, work with it, get it wet, let it dry out a few times. Mm-hmm. And it, they take a little bit of time to really break in good.
I've been doing that wrong. You think mouthwash soaking them and mouthwash will break them down a little bit? Is that, you think it'll tear them up?
I've heard, I mean, I personally don't, I've never washed them with mouthwash. I've always just used water, like cold water. Kind of makes me nervous. Like if I've got a call that I care about enough, I'm not going to go dumping that alcohol on it.
He's more worried about the call staying perfect than if he gets sick or not. So
yeah, Spence, you look like you want.
Yeah, I wanted to throw something out there because y'all danced around a couple topics here. One is, you know, everybody's mouth is shaped different, and you present air differently. That's why you sound different when you talk, and I sound different. Like right, so we're all different. So, Josh, break down just a little bit some of the variables between all the different calls. Because when you look at a shelf, there's 100 different mouth calls, and there's more differences to them than just the colors that are hanging up there.
Great question, yeah, like Spence.
Ghost versus Batwing versus, is that what you're kind of?
Yeah, two reed, at? Three reed, four
the,
reed.
The, yeah, the thickness of the reeds is, I think, number one over at the cut almost. And the material is, you know.
Yeah, the thickness of the reeds, I mean, that's going to determine how much air pressure that's going to take. I mean, some guys are power callers. Some guys don't blow their calls very loud. So, like, a thinner a reeded call would be easier. But, like me personally, I like more of a combo style cut or a bat wing. And there's other – and it's just the way that I blow the air across the call, where some guys really – they project their air straight out in front of them. That's where the ghost cut, the ghost cut is liked by guys like that. And some guys like really heavy rasp, you know, like some of the old timers, man, they just, man, I want to hear that rasp. And a V cut style call where it doesn't have those open sides to really produce a clean front end. Yeah. Like it's going to be really, really raspy. And then another one that we came out with the half moon ghost cuts where they're open on the middle part. Those are going to be a lot more clearer sounding call, a lot more of those like bubbly clucks, and real like high pitched bubbly purrs also.
Mm-hmm. I like that bubble cluck.
Oh yeah.
And that's a hard thing. Can you?
Bobby was bubble clucking the other
He's
day.
Been doing
he
it.
Was so proud of it.
Yeah.
But my call went away. It's like it.
Bob, you can. Yeah, but you can bubble cluck on any call.
Well, Josh, teach us that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start there. This is a three reed ghost cut, and basically it's just how I'm getting that little soft bubble cluck is just forcing soft little gusts of air, and then just kind of popping my lips. Mm-hmm.
Are you rolling your tongue on the purr?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's kind of a little bit of a roll plus the exhale of air at the same time, and it's kind of causing that vibration like coming from my throat.
Yeah, the little what's the back of your throat, the uvula?
Yeah.
That's what Bob used to say, that some of the callers can, that flutters. That's what he's doing. That's the best purr there is. Some people had to learn to flutter their tongue. It's a lot harder. It's a lot. It's not as good as.
It's like, what are you doing, purring? Yeah. He's purring.
I've never been. That's a gift.
I've been rolling my tongue. I need to be working on the thing back there.
Can we go back to like reed thickness, reed cut?
Read material.
Read material.
Prophylactic. I mean, it's all latex, but
and then stretch.
Stretch plus the distances in between some of the reeds, mm-hmm. the way that the reeds right. are stacked. Some of them will, like with a bottom reed that's set further back, I feel like when you catch that with the back end of your tongue, it's a little bit easier when you're making some calls to get more rasp or get a little more pop in like a cluck or cut. What else was there?
I mean, tension, how you pull it, back tension, you know.
Yeah, and that's not something guys shopping can figure out. I mean, you could talk. You could speak to what you do and what you like, but
yeah, is that on
I mean,
the
I don't see
anywhere?
Anybody's packaging talking about the tension.
Yeah,
they talk about well,
that may be a yeah, secret. That may be a secret.
Yeah, I've never.
Well, I guess the primary thing that I was trying to bring up is just that there's a lot of variety out
oh,
there.
Oh yeah,
and so don't be afraid to try multiple things. Mm-hmm. And I'm always amazed. You know, the core of our turkey team, Josh, Hunter, JR, Kevin Taylor, Terrence. It's impressive how well all five of them yelp, but how differently they yelp.
Yeah.
Like JR's signature series calls are so different from Josh's, and Hunter's are different. You know, everybody just pushes air across a call differently. I guess what I was trying to get at was try different things.
That's, yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
I can say that. So I'm not trying to sell calls. It, literally try variety of calls and hey, different brands too, but yeah. especially, you know, at least a cross section of one, two, three reeds. I mean, you'd be surprised in this day and age, it got to where another reed was a better call, you know, right. with two reeds. Oh, there's three. Oh, there's four reeds. Honestly, try that too. All of us and try to, you know, how's the call sound to you? Soft. How's the call sound when you hammer something, you know, locating way out there. Try a whole variety. You're never going to know unless you try a whole variety of mouth calls. Yeah. And guess what? They're reasonable to go.
Yeah,
know,
I mean,
much
literally,
more reasonable than literally, yeah. buy a bunch. You
it,
know?
It sounds silly, but literally, we have an item on our website called the Master Collection, and it's one of every yelper
yeah,
that we make.
That's what
and
I
it's
would
like
do.
$150, and it's, you know, 18 yelpers or something. You'd be surprised how many people buy that.
That's a great
because
way to
they
want to
try.
That's a great
you
idea.
You know, it's less than buying a duck call, mm-hmm. but you get so many different ones. You know, that you can really experiment and figure out like, hey, I like the way this one runs versus you don't have to know what stretch you like or what thickness latex you like, but you put it in there and run it, you're gonna find one that you like better than another.
That reminds me, Bob, that's the same thing as patterning the gun. I mean, you really don't need to just get some bullets and shoot that gun. You need to test them.
Yeah.
You at least need to test what you have before you go out and shoot it. But I still remember the day when in his brilliance at the retail side of things with Bob Dixon. And so when he was at the store in Birmingham, he literally was breaking down one of every different turkey load he had, putting it, you know, breaking them out, one of each, putting them in a Ziploc and selling them as a test bag for people to buy that instead of, you know, someone having to buy mm-hmm. five boxes of shells in today's world, that's like whatever, $200-something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was breaking it down so they could try one of everything. Then they'd come back and buy what sure. pattern good, but yeah. Same thing with especially mouth calls. It does remind me of our conversation with strikers too.
Yeah.
You mean you buy a couple of pot calls. You probably got a good one from somebody today, especially y'all. But you might want to collect a bunch of different strikers.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Same way, try a bunch of different mouth calls if you really want to get good at it. Because I do think that there's a big mistake. People are trying to call turkeys with a mouth call too soon.
Yeah.
Just to think they were doing it with a mouth call, when you can make a perfect sound with a one side of box or even a, you know, a pot call with a little bit of work at all, and even a push button and all. Man, do your homework and practice and try a bunch of different calls with the mouth call first. I've just given people that advice. It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
So you've been down, you've showed us how to do this bubble club.
Yes.
Did we cover the yelp enough? We'll go back and hit on these. What about, let's talk to us about cackling. Do you do much cackling?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times I've had a lot of luck roosting turkeys, like doing a fly up cackle. I know Terrence at 1 year in Alabama, we didn't roost a gobbler, but we got a hen fired up, and we went in there the next morning thinking that he was probably going to be somewhere close to her. And I mean, it fired up a hen, and Terrence killed the gobbler the next morning, but he didn't gobble. We knew he was there anyway. Long story short. Yes, I do a lot of cackling in the evenings and mornings.
You know, you're the second guy that's talked about that evening cackling. Dave Owens mentioned it. Yeah. But we've a lot of times we've asked people about fly down cackles, and we kind of get varied responses on.
And then we don't even talk about the fly up cackle in the evening, you know, which they do. Of course, we don't hunt much in the evenings.
Yeah. So,
but no, out there trying to get one roosted. Oh shoot! Oh, I got to get a different call for this.
I think we're fixing to get a fly up cackle.
Your follow up question: this needs to be, how do you tell whether it's flying up or flying down?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good point.
It's just a cackle.
Okay, don't overcomplicate it.
Isn't it the time of day? I mean,
yeah.
I tell you, the cackle, though.
I love the cackle.
That's an exciting thing. Mm-hmm. And boy, if you ever hear a hen in the wild doing it, she's got a lot of motion in it.
Mm-hmm. When I'm making a cackle, basically, you know, I was talking about cutting that air off in the back of my throat. Like with a cackle or cutting, it's going to be a quick little. Mm-hmm. Just short blasts. But like in a hunting situation, like if I'm sitting there, like most times I want that gobbler, like I like to call to him on the limb. Like I like to get a little bit aggressive with him, but not over aggressive. Like I just want him to know. I want him to know that I'm there. I want to be the first one that he hears, you know.
There's a world champion over here.
That's right.
But, like, starting off with just a little. Just some soft yelping. And then start to intensify, get a little bit more excited with that yelping, like what a hen does. And then just, you know, take it right into a cackle.
Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Can I insert a question real quick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So I want you to talk about rasp for just a second, because, like, if you listen to that, Josh started in the first 5 or 6 note yelps, there's no rasp. And then you put a little bit of rasp in the second one and more rasp in the next one. Like, what do you think that hen's saying when she's adding rasp? What are you saying when you add that rasp?
Man, it's an ancient Chinese secret. No, I think what it is, it's just the excitement peaking in her
yelper.
Do you think do you think rasp or no rasp is actually saying anything?
That's what Spence is asking.
Yeah, I
well, I'm asking it because I can see and y'all can feel it when he's doing that. He's painting a picture, and that rasp is coming in and out just like inflection in your voice. I just was curious what's in his head.
He's
so ingrained on, you know, he's spitting, as old Mike Batty say, he's spitting feathers. He is a turkey. He becomes one when he's calling. He's just sounding like a turkey. I don't think, and you can overrule anything I say, it makes a hill of beans difference in what a hen is saying by when she has a raspy sound or a clear sound. I don't think it means anything different, because it just mixes in randomly all the time, but probably a lot more to do with how forceful is she being or not. He makes it by having air on the back of the call and the clear reads, and then transitioning to using all of it in the front reads rattle. And so I'm sure their vocal cords are much the same.
I mean, if you're trying
old boss hand.
If you think you've got a gobbler there and you're trying to make him gobble, I mean, I would think that soft stuff, you know, he's going to hear it and start thinking about it. And then you start getting raspier and louder. That's the trigger that's going to make him snap and share that courtesy gobble you've been waiting on.
My personal opinion on this, like when you break into that rasp and it seems like a lot of times, like, those gobblers like to respond more to that lower back end, it seems like. Just my opinion on that. But then, like, when I'm working a gobbler, like, my favorite thing to do in the whole world, like, right before you can't see them, is just kind of that clear stuff. And I swear to God, it's like, when I can hit that how I want to, I feel like anytime that I do that, like, they are going to gobble at it and let me know where they're at. And just,
what do you mean that the low end back end stuff, like, make that sound you're describing?
I'm getting into more coarser, lower sound.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, that's just one of my opinions.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about the all-new Gunner Dog Bowl. It's designed for home and built for travel. It's customizable, leak-resistant, light on weight, solid on durability, and rust-proof. Like other Gunner products, they're made in Nashville and designed for everywhere.
Have you heard about the LS Gamekeeper Tractor Giveaway? That's right, we're handing over one of our Gamekeeper used LS tractors, and believe us, the team isn't thrilled about saying goodbye. This powerhouse comes equipped with a front loader, belly mower, backhoe, and tiller, making it the ultimate camp tractor with unmatched versatility. It comes with a certified pre-used warranty straight from LS, and the Gamekeeper's crew has given it their stamp of approval. Don't miss out. Head over to mossyoakgamekeepers.com to discover all the ways you can throw your hat in the ring.
So as a previous world champion, when you're out there and you make that yelp and one doesn't gobble at you, does that just aggravate you?
No. No, I know better. They'll give it up sooner or later.
One of my favorite sayings has always been, and there's really not, although today there may be, I was going to say, there's no Michael Jordan of turkey calling. Actually, I probably have to rescind that today.
Yeah.
After eight times in a row. But literally, the best that ever walked, the best caller ever, and he walks in the woods, he is just one more hen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the great ones there combine that great calling with all that woodsmanship and all that experience. And, I mean, he's doing stuff when he hunts, he doesn't even stop to think about it. You know, it's probably hard for him to sit here and talk to us about it because he does it instinctively, you know, when he's hunting. He's done it so many times.
Acting like a hen.
Yep.
He sure sounds just,
that's right.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I do think that people fail to realize how much effort and practice goes into it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to throw him that bone because just like, I mean, just like Steph Curry, he doesn't just wake up in the morning and shoot three-pointers because he's naturally good at it. Like, he's good at it as a God-given gift, but he's done a whole lot of practice. Yeah. And you know,
the great ones in sports love practice. Yeah. They love to practice. They didn't like they have to get good. They love practice, and he loves the practice. Yeah.
How many, be honest now, how many calls will you have to go through before you find, okay, this is, I'm keeping this one, I'm going over here.
Man, I wish I had a picture of my desk because there's calls just scattered everywhere that, like, I've built, and I'll pick at them daily, and just they're not there yet, or maybe I should throw them away, but I'm just hoping, like, maybe here in a few months or something, I'm going to pick it up and it's going to change. And, like, this thing here, like, there's a bunch of calls in here I haven't touched in weeks, but there might be one of them in here that I'm going to like this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're close. But I.
Hey, the funny thing is that 99.9% of the public in the world and everybody else in this room would be overjoyed with the one he's probably least happy with.
Probably so.
It's just his own ear he's looking to please.
So he was tweaking that call before he did that cackle. I don't know what you were doing. You did something to the call. You were pulling it out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Something. And I wondered what it would have sounded like had he not done that versus what clear, it said.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't have had any snap to it. I was separating that bottom reed. I had the top reed picked, but the bottom reed wasn't.
So it was stuck.
Yeah, it was stuck together.
I mean, Bobby, let's face it. You've been turkey hunting, what, 40-something years probably.
Yeah.
Whether you think you can call great or not, you're a great turkey hunter, I'll be honest. No. Dudley is, Lanny is, everybody in this room. Spence. But the average guy, from what he's doing to us, and then the from what he's doing to the first time guy, the beginner, that's a different ball game. Yeah. So I hear them blowing, and they just blow the call. There's nothing going on with their mouth or their tongue or anything. And the first thing I've always said is, like, learn to cut the sound off abruptly. Be more staccato. You can't just end with a blow, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would just say, what the bear beginner, because there are a couple things for that bear beginner to give them advice about that, because they might even make a sound that sounds the same as a hen sound, but if without the rhythm, it still is not sound like turkeys. Does that make sense?
And with that said, like, a turkey's rhythm, if you, that rhythm I feel is more important than the overall sound, the sound itself, because at 100 yards away, you're going to pick up that rhythm regardless if it's your sound, my sound. Absolutely. As long as,
or it's like blowing a duck call from a distance. You know, they're just hearing, they're hearing that rhythm.
You got him really distracted talking about duck calls. Josh gets real starry eyed when we talk about stacking green now.
Spencer's neck almost snapped off when you said duck calls.
Sorry. Josh, I tell you, we've talked to a lot of people that call and have called for us, but there's just something extra henny sounding about your
call. Oh, of course.
It's incredible.
I got a question. Spence, you hit on a little bit tension, and I might be the only one that does this. Do you bend your frame at all?
You know what? I do.
Yeah.
I don't.
Be careful.
Be careful because I bend mine a little bit. Like, so. I bend mine a little bit to get a little bit more of the shape.
Yeah, of the mouth.
The fitting that I like with mine. But, I mean, you can take it too far and totally ruin the integrity of the call, and you can't get it back.
You can't chase it back. I've done that
before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was that what you were talking about, tension a little bit?
But, yeah, there are – I mean, like this call here, I've got stretched a little bit tighter than what I usually like. Yeah. And this is the bottom two reeds of this one are prophylactic, which being stretched a little bit tighter, I don't have to blow as hard on this material with that tension. And like I said, I've got calls here for you guys to try here later. They're out in the truck. Sorry. But
we'll wait till you leave.
The tension that I – go ahead.
But this tension, like, compared to – It's what I like, but like you guys, I don't know. It's finding the happy medium in these things is
so. The prophylactic is easier to blow. Am I understanding that right?
No, it's.
Sorry. It has a different elasticity to it.
Yes,
and so air, like Toxie said, when you're blowing air across the call, it grabs it different. And and different's the best word. Like,
yeah, it sounds.
I mean, it does the same thing that latex does in terms of actually the physics of grabbing the air, but it responds different. It's got a different feel.
Yeah,
it's almost
like the fabric for clothing today. And you got something that's two way stretch and it's pretty comfortable. Then you get something like all way stretchy, kind of more supple. Ooh, and so it just seems like it grabs air better. I mean, I think correct me if I'm wrong. The paradox is, quite often, maybe not the average starter guy, but beyond that, most callers, the latex might be more realistic. I mean, the prophylactic and make, you know, nasally henny sounds better. But then it probably will tear up easier too and not last as long if you're not careful. So, you know, there's a trade-off there, you know.
There is something with this clear prophylactic stuff that and I've told you this in the past, like, I feel like the wetter the better.
Yes.
Like the more it gets wet compared to like a regular latex call. Right. A regular latex call, like, you hunt with it for a few hours, it gets soggy, it gets mushy.
It always just, like, you break it in enough, you know, you get it wet for the morning, and the first calls are the best of the day. And it sounds great at daylight, and the next thing you know, it gets soggy and you're like, what happened?
Yeah. To where the prophylactic, it kind of gets a little bit better as the day goes on. It's weird.
Lanny, the tension that I was specifically talking about is, a lot of people don't realize that every mouth call is built one at a time by hand. There's no automation. There's no there's no magic factory in China that you call and a truckload shows up. Like, Josh is stacking three reeds with the right spacing and then grabbing them on one side, pulling them to the right, and then pulling them to the back. And he's got a little dial on his, you know, on his press
tension gauge.
Yeah. And that tension, you know, is has everything to do with how much air you have to put across it to make the reeds vibrate. And so, like, when Josh sends a bag of calls to the shop, everybody's got something they like different. You know, my son likes a 0.05.
Right.
Well, I don't know why. I like a 0.07. And
you know, that's the Drake actual tension, that 0.05 and 0.07 is the tension on that meter.
Yeah.
But, and then, like Toxie was saying, the back tension also affects that. So there's tension being pulled from two different directions.
Are all the reeds the same tension, or are they?
Yes.
They're all clamped on the same.
But they could be different thicknesses. Uh-huh, you know, that top reed is a different thickness than those other two reeds. And then Prof has a different elasticity to it than latex. And so, you know, I'm going to give a sales pitch for just a second and really brag on Josh. But one of the things that Josh is probably the most talented at of anybody alive in the country today is his consistency with which he makes yelpers. Y'all are enamored by how well he sounds on a yelper, but you can ask any of the contest calls that swing by the booth and grab calls from Josh. In the past, you would grab 20, 30, 40 calls and you'd try to find two of them that were great. Josh builds 20, 30 calls and 19, 20 of the 20. Like, he's so consistent, mm-hmm. and that's just a God-given talent. Like, I mean, he looks at that dial, yeah. and he's got feel for it. And I mean, it's just the efficiency with which he can do that is unparalleled. Hmm. I mean,
craftsman.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. I expect to see that reflected in my paycheck.
Sounds good.
But, you every know, 2 weeks. There we go. But I think his point, too, with that consistency, they're all a work of art. Honestly, and he may be the best artist, you know, but even everybody out there, all these calls you're buying are works of art. Like Spencer said, everybody's making them by hand.
Yeah, it's a lot which is amazing. Of labor and detail in a $10 call.
Another reason, too, still is even with his perfection as he is driven, they're still handmade. And so if you really want to get that sound, you know, that you're so proud of in front of your buddies, let's face it. And also, for hunting, you probably need to buy quite a few, because I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're going to use that, and then there are going to be differences from call to call. Did the top reed loosen up a little bit more than the other reeds when they were all stretched the same to start with? And all of a sudden, that one has that beautiful sound, and it just kind of developed it on its own, you know, because there's not – even if you made them by machine – with artificial intelligence, there's going to be some differences in all these calls.
So
while he's the most consistent, you still should try a variety. And then don't throw them away if you don't like it right away either. And
absolutely. Yeah,
I don't know how many I've thrown on my floorboard just within 2 minutes of putting it in my mouth from the store.
Well, they say that call needs pitching.
I guess I
need some pitch in it.
Yeah, let me pitch that for you.
That's what I learned today.
So, Josh, what else can you teach us here? But what are we forgetting to ask you? Is there any other secrets to somebody learning to run a mouth call? You contest callers don't give up your secrets easy. We're trying to pull something out of it.
Bobby, that's so biased. You're dividing us up into contest callers and normal people.
What?
That's discrimination, Bobby. Yeah. Contest callers are real people, too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But there's got to be some little
sounds
something.
Sounds like practice makes perfect. He spends a lot of time with a mouth call in his mouth.
Honestly, you call Josh, he's going to have a mouth call in when he answers the telephone. He's going to be bubble clucking or yelping
and
or something.
You're right. You have to.
Every time.
You have to make him stop and think like the average guy to give advice, because he's been at that level for so long.
But, I mean, did we cover, like, purring? Like,
I don't think we covered purring.
A little bit. I mean, like, to me, like, purring, like, some guys, like, a Kiki run, some guys really, that's their, like, nemesis or their, you know, their Achilles.
Purr is my Achilles. I can't do it.
Purring has been mine and probably cost me a lot of money in competitions over the years. But the way that we did touch on a little bit, but the it's kind of like a gargle or a softly rolling your tongue while you're kind of just forcing and exhaling air pretty much just from my throat, just a. And I've found it easier here lately just with a ghost cut, just sending that, yeah, that air straight through the middle of the call.
How could someone not score that?
Yeah. And you know, it sounds like my purr, which is obviously not, you're not good. I'm trying to roll my tongue, but yours sounds like more it's emanating from the back of your throat.
It's coming from the back of the throat. I can feel that, like right in here is where it almost feels like that's where it's hitting the call at.
So it's not like
the placement of that is going to have everything to do with the size of the chamber in your mouth. Mm-hmm. If you're making that right on the front, then there's not as much room for that to resonate. So, I mean, just like you were singing, yeah, you know?
That's a great – we didn't even talk about that beginner stuff. It's like you recommend people push the call as far back in their roof of their mouth as they are comfortable or
– No, it's almost like – I'm trying to think about the middle of my tongue where it hits at my teeth is like kind of where I want that call to pretty much like peak – in the roof of my mouth. And mm-hmm. when I say peak, like the call itself actually isn't laying flat up there. It's kind of at at an angle like that. So, and you can see, I don't know if I've got a camera in here, like you can see some bends in the tape itself. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where it's catching on the, on my teeth. And it's actually sealing and fitting into the roof of my mouth there. And then my tongue is just gently resting up against it. And that's, like I said, the air is going through there.
I've had the back of that. You know, you walk around all morning with the same call, got it, the back tape between your teeth constantly. Yeah. You know, and then the next thing you know, before the season's out, that is so limp, it'll start flipping down and messing you up. I've had to actually cut the back of it off. But you can ruin it by chewing on the back of the call too much, too.
I got Richie over there getting his yelpers out.
Well, this is the master class.
Yeah.
And then like a Kiki, I don't, it's just same way, just resting in your mouth and then just gently just kind of hissing that air through. I prefer a ghost cut for that.
Yeah.
And then just breaking it into a
y'all come over,
Bobby.
Here.
Yeah, so you talked about that. It's fascinating because the big thing for me, I don't think I've called for so long, and I think controlling air against the front of the call to the back of the call, I've been doing it for so long, but I'm not sure that I can control right or left nearly like. I mean, you can.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You can control your air so amazingly. So how does someone know to practice that they're actually being able to use the left side or right side? Because, you know, I guess you could get a call that one side's open and not and tell by the sound. But how could you practice right to left air control?
That's a great question.
That is.
I'd love to know that because I've worked so hard because I can make the two-tone pretty yep like that. And I'm so happy about that. But like the Kiki, you know, on the old flap calls, you need to control your air and send it down that open side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it made this most beautiful Kiki. But if you can't control the air, then the only way to Kiki is just try to limit it to that bottom read only, you know.
One thing you just said that made me think about a previous conversation about how do you practice. Like, it's really easy to get rasp by hacking into the call. But one of the things I've heard you tell people, Josh, is practicing making that clear note
first.
It controls, it helps you dial in where your air is coming across. And so if you can practice for that clear portion of that note, just like you're doing, it's then opening your mouth and getting that crunchy raspy part is a lot easier than getting the clear part.
Yes, because one, the clear part involves more control.
Okay, so did we answer how do you throw your air
right to left? How could you practice that? Do you have any advice at all?
Just kind of, thanks Rob, just kind of directing that air to like the open sides of those calls, just kind of gently sliding my tongue that direction, like to the right for like a combo cut or a reverse combo, doing it to the left. And then with a ghost cut, like I said, I'm getting that hissing sound, and I'm basically putting a lot more tongue pressure towards the roof of my mouth and just pushing it straight on.
Right.
If that makes sense. It's like we touched on earlier, everybody's mouths are different, and finding that sweet spot to get that to each side is, it's just going to take a lot of working with your tongue and in those directions.
The Furminator is the industry's most versatile piece of food plot equipment, allowing plotters to do every step of the process, working the soil, adding seed and soil supplements, and compacting from start to finish with a single implement. It's hassle-free by design. Set it for the seed size and simply drive the tractor, and the Furminator does the rest. Check it out at thefurminator.com.
Nosler is known for their bullets, and now they're making suppressors. Nosler suppressors are made for hunting. Adding a Nosler suppressor to your rifle will make you a quieter, more accurate, and more effective hunter. Protect your hearing and disturb less game with a Nosler suppressor. The time to hunt quiet is now. Learn more at Nosler.com.
Well, to go back to Spencer's point, there's a lot of different styles, reeds, prophylactics, one reed, two reeds, ghost cuts, V cuts, bat wings, small frames, large frames. Mm-hmm. And so a guy just needs to experiment with some of this.
Yeah. So we actually, one of the things we try to do from a packaging standpoint is make that easier for people, right? So one of our most popular three packs is what we call the Classic Collection, and it has the three dominant cuts. It's got a V cut, a bat wing, and a combo cut. And so sort of like Neapolitan ice cream, right? You're probably going to find a flavor in there that you like more than the others. And so that's a good place to start. Well, then we also offer collections that'll be, you know, three different bat wings that have very different bat wings. So let's say you start with the Classic Collection and you figure out which one of the flavors you like. Then, you know, we offer a three pack of bat wings or a three pack of combo cuts to try to kind of help you dial it in, you know, because most people tend to prefer one of those over another.
I mean, yeah, we've got them from two reeds of thin latex to three reeds of heavy latex and tighter stretches and just a lot of variables in there.
None of that's revolutionary, but I mean, the whole point is to try to guide somebody into what fits them best and what they're getting the best, you know, sound out of.
When you're running around there in Ohio and you stop and get gas somewhere, do people come up to you and go, listen to me, call and tell me what I'm doing? Does that happen a lot?
No.
I was going to ask if you do Zoom turkey call lessons. Can you do Tuesday nights at 7?
No, but if you want to get on my OnlyFans page,
okay.
We'll hook it up. Doing turkey calls this week.
Okay. He does do that, Dudley, and he would help you with that. He's done that with my youngins and several others.
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Lanny, you got anything else?
Let me think here. We've talked about the bend in the frame, the purr, tree yelping.
Okay.
Yeah. What, I guess, kind of call would you prefer? Or if you do just use your regular hunting call, you know, what's your best way? Cause like my biggest problem is soft yelping. You know, of course I'm kind of loud anyways. As Toxie says, I learned something about an ammunition factory.
I said, yeah, he learned to yelp in an ammunition factory.
So yeah, soft yelping, you know, I know that's the closing move. Even before, I would just yelp down in my shirt like this, trying to quieten it down. So yeah, give us a little tips on.
Yeah, I think soft yelping is the deadliest call there is. Again, back to like the pushing air from the throat and just pressing, putting some air pressure on the open side of this combo cut and just softly.
Is that a two read or a three
read? This is a three read.
Three read.
And then just gently just dropping my tongue just a little bit will take from that clear and add that little bit of throaty rasp of, I mean, like trying to picture that hen on the limb just waking up.
And I notice you're not opening your mouth near as much.
No, it's all, everything's almost just pretty much just controlled through the air pressure on these soft notes. And then want to spice it up.
Yeah, always.
Just open his mouth more.
Yeah. Just a little more.
There's more closed there. Right, yeah, there.
Yeah. Yep. That's actually a different part of my tongue. Like the first really soft ones are kind of middle to back of my tongue with the air coming from my throat. And then when I increase that air and I'm actually hitting it with the front end of my tongue there, mm-hmm,
for getting louder.
So he's got his mouth closed.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Then he opens it.
That makes sense. Soft call. Close your mouth.
But you called it tree cake. Show us how to tree call. There's no difference in a tree call in the soft yupping that a turkey's at 10 o'clock in the morning is right on top of.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just soft yupping.
Just soft yupping.
Yeah. Josh, when you were, I see these callers put their hands to their face and do. Yep. Is that helping in any way, or is that just a habit you pick up in a contest?
To be honest, it's more of a habit and a more of a comfort thing that, like, when you're practicing so much and you get to, like, this year, I used to always put my hand on my ear, and I don't know how I got started in that. And then it was the hand puppet thing for a long time. And then this year, when I've been walking around practicing, I felt with having my left hand here, I could hear it better on my right side. And it was just the thing. It's just
because he grew up watching Walter Parrott and Mark Drury and people like that doing it.
All of them.
Yeah.
All
and they had who was it?
Denny.
What was Joe?
Oh, God.
Joe Drake.
Joe Drake. Yeah.
He'd move hands everywhere. It was really cool. But I think it was, like you said, it's more of a comfort thing, a habit.
And so
it's all of a sudden, you know, it's just part of when they get focused. I mean, they're in a zone when they're up there doing
that's
that.
That's 100%.
It's like how a guitar player starts twitching his face around when he's in a solo or something.
They are musicians. That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
They are musicians.
That's exactly
and
right.
You know, that's the other thing nature's I've noticed. Musicians. The brilliant ones like him don't only have the talent, but they have the ear.
Right.
Just like a great musician. Do they have the ear to pick up all these things on top of being able to pull it off? Practice, practice, practice.
Okay. We should make Josh sing something. That's how we should wrap this up.
There you go.
What do you want?
He's singing right now. He's singing hen sounds to us.
Well, I'd like for you to kind of go through a little, just a calling sequence.
Yeah. Waking up in the morning.
Yeah, but name the call, name the call like in a contest and then do a call. So people that have never been to a contest.
Cackle, fly down.
What are some of the typical? There's six or eight they could call. They usually do four or five. Tell people what you're doing, just like briefly do the call.
What was the TK put purr?
I think he needs some more macaroni and cheese.
I got it. Assembly call of an adult hen.
The perk. I was going to do like an early morning wake up. Okay, on the limb,
do it.
Hit the ground. And
tell us what you're doing and do it.
Okay. Here he comes.
I wish people could play it back. There's so much variety in what he did and not just like one monotone sound. It's incredible. And that's something to work on. It's fun working on it.
Josh, yeah. Will you give Toxie that call?
No. I have my own. I do not want to use somebody.
No, like I said, I'm going to give y'all some here.
No, Bobby, I want him to have that call.
Last time I checked, Bobby's the one needs the call.
Okay. Let's look at Spence. Spence, grab one of his calls. Let's hear you run one out.
Hey.
I can make one, but Bobby, not like that.
As they say, Bobby, whoop yours out and let's hear it.
Whoop yours out.
That was really good, Josh. I enjoyed listening to
that. You've been working on your bubble clock. Let's hear it.
I don't have a call with
you. Of course.
I've got my Merlin Bird ID ready to ID somebody.
Well, we've been calling for...
I don't think I need Merlin to figure out what that was.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we not asking? What, you probably flew down here from Ohio thinking, oh, man, they're going to ask me this. I better be ready.
I know one call we hadn't talked about. We hadn't talked about making a Jake yelp.
Oh, there you go.
Yo. Jake Yalkin.
Okay.
I mean, you might want to wrap the conversation up, but I've heard you make a lot of them gobble with the Jake yelp.
Let me tell you what, it works in the woods, too.
Yeah. You can, yep. You might run them off. You'd be careful, though.
Yeah.
Now, that's sometimes. A yellow call.
So, we're using a special call for making Jake
like
noises?
The heavier latex calls ended up sounding too Jakey for me sometimes, so I'd toss them, but they sounded Jakey, a heavy call.
I made this one just for, like, gobbler yelps and stuff, and it's got a completely different stretch and reed configuration, and I don't want to get too in-depth with it.
It's like when somebody asks us what kind of soil do we use at the nursery. I start getting
you got
paranoid.
Your Merlin app on, doesn't it?
Now, what if this don't work?
We can edit it.
Give it a little yelp too.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Bobby completely interrupted the sequence.
That really sounded like a gobbler.
No, there you can even hear little whines in the back of it.
It's a quivery sound.
Yeah, quivery sound. Like finna hit puberty.
Did somebody teach you all this, or did you just pick it up on your own?
Turkey's taught him, Bobby.
Well, no, there's been a handful of guys along the way that were nice enough to lend a ear. A guy named Bob Hoon spent a lot of time listening to me. A few of my buddies, Brett Berry.
I tell you, they've taught you well. Has anybody ever told you you look like Ryan Day, the coach?
Oh, my God, if I got a nickel for it.
You do look like him. It's odd that he's from that state. So, you had any death threats after last year?
No, but I get it. He's a handsome son of a gun. I know that.
Ryan. Oh, man.
In the list of people that deserve some credit, your dad spent a lot of time running up and down the road with you in contests.
I bet, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he was my number one. He was my cheerleader. And, like, Spence and I were having a conversation the other day about it.
How cool
like
is that?
Him not being at the Grand Nationals with me anymore, it's kind of taken away from the experience of it all. And it's taken a few years to get past all that, of losing him. And
good for you, though, that you had that relationship. That's incredible. That's awesome. What a gift.
He was, he'd go back home and he'd go to the local bar and everybody that I'd see, like, later on, like, man, that's all your dad did was talked about you and how you did this weekend. And it was cool. And he when he started going to Nashville and stuff, like, man, he knew everybody. Wow. So, but yeah, having people like that, with anything, that you're passionate about, having that support at home is huge. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you got it, it's a gift. Do not take it for granted.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not take it for granted.
And as a fellow turkey hunter, even if he's gone, I can tell you he's with you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I know every time I miss one and go to cussing, it reminds me of him.
You know, Mr. Fox had a famous saying I think they've all adopted now.
Yeah, we have.
And he would be like, boom, someone missed one. And he's like, he finally say, son, Don't even worry about it. I promise you, you'll forget all about it. And he paused and every time I say, about 15, 20 years from now.
Yeah, that ought to be a T-shirt.
It yep. should
be.
Yep.
That is fantastic.
That, and I tell you, I'm sitting here, we talked about it earlier, I've got Yelp envy. I am sitting here just,
he
I
does.
Wish I could yeah, he sound got the sweetness, like Josh.
The sweetness.
You sound so good.
Well, I appreciate it.
But it does, you know what you're going to do, you're going to go back and it – driving back forth to work, you're going to practice more now.
I'm going
to
change my per game up 100%.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's 100%. It's a great point. What they say, yep. if you do something for so many
10,000 yeah. hours or times or whatever it
30
is.
Days in a row.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
What are you
good at? I'm blessed to work around people that are incredibly talented. You know, Drake, Riley are just as talented in their field as Josh is in this one. And there is no substitute for practice. People do not appreciate how much these guys time they spend practicing.
So I mean, if you practice because you know I practice because I want to use it to go hunting. I want to kill turkeys. I mean that's kind of one thing. If you practice because you really want to get good at it, I mean I can't even promise you, and he can't either, that you'll kill more turkeys if you sound better, maybe. But it's just so much fun to just. It's not.
It's an obsession, really.
It's not that far different from what I always want to do. Is I wanted to duplicate nature. I wanted to be able to sit down and completely disappear because I was one with nature. His excellence at calling is not that far from that, in that he is focused and he has become a turkey in his mind when he's calling, and he's becoming one with nature. Honestly, I know it may sound goofy out there to people, but there's a lot of similarity in those two things.
It makes him a better hunter, too. I mean, he's more, you know.
Confident.
Yeah, more confident. I think the confidence is key.
100%.
1,000%, too. Yeah.
And it's more rewarding.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, one of the coolest things that I've been a part of was I shot a turkey a couple springs ago with Josh and Hunter and JR. All three yelping on different trees.
Wow.
I mean, had to come you in. Talk about cool.
No, the pressure was on you to not screw that one up.
Spence, have you ever killed a turkey with a mouth call you made? Have you gotten Josh or somebody to help you make one yet? Or
I mean, I've
I guess you piddled, work around so much talent.
Absolutely not. No, to answer that question. I've killed one of the box call that I made. That's but cool. No, I'm going to let the man make my yelpers.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, we probably ought to wrap this up. I don't think we have enough water left to keep Josh hydrated.
Or Pepsi.
Man, it's hot.
Well, it is hot. It is a little warm.
I got a sweatshirt on.
It's hot in here.
Welcome to the sunny south.
No Waverly put it on.
It'll be freezing in the morning.
He OD'd on fried chicken at lunch today. Yeah. So.
Macaroni and cheese.
That was so good.
Turnip grains.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We might get them back down there on Fridays.
The lard on that macaroni and cheese is going to have some weird things growing in those yelpers. Those yelpers have not seen that macaroni and cheese.
Something tells me there's a nap in his future.
Yep. So, Josh, can people follow you on Instagram or Facebook? What do they need to follow? Rolling Thunder?
Rolling Thunder, yeah, for sure.
Let's do that. Rolling Thunder. It's a great things to watch. And Spence, they've done a great job with that.
Yeah, dude.
Also have an awesome podcast.
Yep.
They sure do.
When we can get everybody in the same room to sit down, we need a Mr. Bobby to help.
Oh, he's such a – everybody needs podcast. A curmudgeon. Bobby's a curmudgeon. He's our curmudgeon.
That's the word of the day.
I don't even know what a curmudgeon is. But all right, so guys, unless anybody's got anything else, everybody.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you guys. Tomorrow ought to be a lot of fun. So
Hey, if you're listening, Josh is got us call some building stuff here. He's going to be stretching yelpers tomorrow.
Nice.
At the event.
Well, this won't air for a little while, so.
Well, then they'll have big, massive fear of missing out.
They'll know to come.
A week later.
They'll know to come next year.
They can go to his OnlyFans page.
There you go. Make some real money.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you say goodbye, Dudley?
Goodbye, Dudley.
Get us out of here, Richie.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Gamekeeper Podcast. And be sure to tune in again. Subscribe to Gamekeeper Farming for Wildlife magazine and don't miss the Mossy Oak Properties Fistful of Dirt podcast with my good buddy, Ronnie Cuz Strickland.